I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 4. Psalm 4 will be our text for tonight as we study together. I just want to mention one family in particular that I appreciate being here tonight. Jeff Archer is here. If that name sounds familiar to you, it's because Jeff has held a meeting here for you before. I think has been here on a number of occasions. Appreciate Jeff so much. Have a lot of respect for him. We have traveled together. He may not have a lot of respect for me after doing so. I don't know. But we have spent some time together and really appreciate Jeff and his family. Todd is a member at the Westview Church where I preached previously and love him very much. So it's sure good to see them. Appreciate them coming our way tonight. We want to study together from Psalm 4 tonight and look at some things related to David as he expresses, and we see his transparency here in this chapter and his heart as he relates some things that he is concerned about as he prays to God. I don't know about you if you have ever had a night where you can't sleep because you're consumed about some problem or some issue that you're having. Maybe it's something going on at work. Maybe there is some problem there that has you under great stress and concern. Maybe there is some family issue that you're fighting a battle of some kind, an issue in your family that is keeping you under a great deal of concern for that situation. Maybe it's a financial struggle that you're under, or maybe some situation at church. But I think that all of us, if we live and if we love, that we have nights like that and times like that where we really struggle to be able to rest peacefully. We talked about this morning the invitation of our Lord to come to Him and find rest. And tonight I want to talk to you from Psalm 4 about David as he seeks the same, as he looks to God in an effort to be able to go to sleep at night. And I think that this passage is one that helps me because I think as we all do, we have things that enter into our mind, concerns as this busy life is upon us, and we need to turn to the Lord for His assistance. David had times like that, like we do. And he had moments of great anxiety. He had moments that he was concerned about what would happen to him, about what would happen to his family, about what would happen in a larger context to his kingdom. And so there certainly were moments in his life where he had those same kind of feelings and same kinds of concerns as we do. Psalm 4 is an evening prayer. It is an evening prayer, and most believe that it comes on the heels of Psalm 3. Psalm 4 chronologically probably comes after Psalm 3, where David is speaking as to a concern about his son Absalom. And as you recall, Absalom was leading a military coup against David as he tried to depose David from the throne and actually to kill David and to take over his kingdom. And so no doubt you can imagine as a father and as a king what that would feel like as you're fighting against your own son and your own son is treating you in this way. And no doubt he asked himself a lot of questions, as sometimes we do as we're concerned about our children. Is there anything that I could have done differently to avoid this? Are there some things that we could have avoided these circumstances had we acted differently? Had something else taken place? Might we have avoided this situation? And I'm sure that there were a lot of what-ifs that entered into his mind as this young man and his life have turned in a different direction. And I'm sure that there are some parents that understand that feeling as they are concerned about their children. But David is in great wonder, and this kind of situation, whether this particular psalm relates directly to that event or not, certainly in David's life there were times where he had these great struggles. But as we think about that, and as we think about David, what he does here is he brings everything into focus. As he's concerned about his situation, he's able to narrow that down and to bring those concerns into a focus that will help him in order to deal with that. And there are certainly times in this life where we just need to focus and understand what is it that really is important. What is it that is vitally important in this life? And David knows, I believe, where to go to find that. In Psalm 4 and verse 8, he says this. Psalm 4 and verse 8, I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Sometimes there's only one way that we can go to sleep, and that is with the Lord's help. And David turns to him in this moment in his despair and in his distress, and he says, Lord, I know that you're going to take care of this, and so I'm going to close my eyes now. We need that from time to time. Let's look at the focus that David had, and to bring some of these things very quickly in our minds as we understand what is important to focus on. David shows us in verse 1 that we need to focus on prayer and not our problems. That we need to turn to God when we encounter those kinds of situations in our life. David knows where to go. He knows where the basis for success is. If he's going to overcome this, if he is going to be able to handle this, he knows that he is going to have to turn to God. And so David turns to God in his difficulty and in the time of his stress and his distress. He says here in verse 1, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. I think when he says here in verse 1, you have relieved me in my distress, that maybe he's not talking about at that particular moment. Because at that particular moment, he's still in the throes of this situation and he's dealing with it. And he's trying to find those answers. But rather, I think probably this is him rewinding in his mind the clock a little bit as he thinks about all the different times that God has delivered him and that you have delivered me in my distress. This isn't the first time, and it won't be the last time that I come to you in these kinds of circumstances. And so he goes to the well again. And David goes to the well again and again to look for God's help. He knows where to go in his distress, and so we need to know where to go in our distress. It's kind of like that child that runs to its mother automatically. Something happens, they're hurt, they fall, they've got a boo-boo, and they know just exactly where to go. They go to their mom. They ought to go to their dad sometimes, but it just doesn't seem that that ever happens. But they go to their mom, and they go to their mom because she's the one that has the Band-Aids, and she's the one that has the kisses for those kinds of situations. And they've experienced it before. And so they go back to that again and again. Even as they get older, they go back there. Aaron was talking about this morning the things that David had experienced in his life, that the lions and the bear, Goliath and Saul. And so David, in this moment in his distress, he rewinds the clock and he sees all of those things in a flash. You have delivered me in my distress. And he goes back to those times when God has helped him. And we must do the same as we look back to the times in our lives when God has brought us through. And to remember that, yes, we overcame that circumstance that seems so bleak and so dark. And so we recall times when we've been under pressure and God has helped us. We sing a song, Count Your Many Blessings. And we need to count our blessings. But I think there certainly are times where we need to count our deliverances as well. That we count the times, that we remember the hard times, that we count the distresses. We not only count the blessings, but we count the distresses, and we remember and recall, God brought me through that, and he's going to bring me through that again. And I think that's what David is doing here. Look over in your New Testaments, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 10, and verses 32 through 39. Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 32 through 39. Whenever there is some new challenge, whenever there is some new grief that we haven't experienced before, or some new distress, we need to conjure up in our minds and remember how God has delivered us in the past, and he surely has. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 32,
The writer of the Hebrew letter says, "But recall the former days, in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me and my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul." As he says that and encourages them to stay faithful to the Lord, to endure, he says, "I want you to remember. I want you to remember back in the former days. I want you to remember what you went through. And I want you to remember that God brought you through all of those things in those days." And he certainly will do that. And David knows, as we turn back to Psalm 4 and verse 3, that God will hear him. He has no doubt in that, that God is going to listen to him. In verse 3 of chapter 4, he says, "But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him." And he was basing that on the fact that he was living righteously, and that he knew that God would listen to him on the basis of his effort to please him. So focus on prayer and not on problems. Secondly, in verse 2, we need to focus on God and not focus on men. And David had to do that in this moment when so many were against him, when so many men in his life were contrary to him in his effort to be righteous. He needed to focus on God and not on men. He says, "How long, O you sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame? How long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood? But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him." That's not easy to do when people are trying to discount your faith, when they're trying to bring you down, when they are trying to use the very things that mean so much to you in an effort to discredit you in some way, to use your faith against you, those things that mean so much, and to focus around all of those things that ought to mean so much to you and bring you down with those very things. Our faith, our morality, the godly traditions that we have in the Lord, our foundation based on the authority of God, our good record, and those things can become fuel for the enemies of righteousness who care nothing about God. And so David has to turn his attention not to those men that were around him, his enemies that were striving to bring him down, but to God. And sometimes it's so easy to focus on the lies and focus on men and what they're saying and the hurt and the stress and life struggles. But if you focus on those things, that's kind of like that magnifying glass, that light hits and then it focuses in on something and a little fire begins. And how great a fire that may kindle if we're focusing on those kinds of things and that kind of negativity. God doesn't see as man sees. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 27 and 28, God doesn't look at the things of this world as people do, as men do. And so we need to discount those opinions, to see ourselves as God sees and not to see ourselves as men see, but to focus on what God thinks of us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 27 and 28. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 27 and 28. He says, "But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his